If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the book series of The Delicious Podcast, sponsored by Hive.co.uk, with me, Jilly Smith. This week, I am with a couple of genuine legends in British food, Fergus Henderson and Trevor Gulliver, whose restaurant St John, a former smokehouse just outside Smithfield Meat Market, brought nose-to-tail eating to London when it opened in 1995. In a minute, we'll be talking about the Book of St John, which celebrates 25 years of the restaurant. And we have a frank discussion about English wine and sustainable eating. We'll hear how Parkinson's has affected Fergus's life as a chef, and he talks about his inspiration, the late, great Anthony Bourdain. The whole book series is sponsored by Hive.co.uk, the ethical online store which passes the commission onto your local bookshop. Let me tell you how it works. Every order placed on Hive benefits the High Street, because whether you pick it up in person or not, Hive will give between 5 and 15% commission to the bookshop nearest to you. If you decide to pop in and pick it up in person, your designated bookshop will get the higher rate of commission. And chatting to real people isn't just better for us, but for the other shops on the High Street too, as it increases footfall right across town. I'll give you the discount code at the end of the podcast, and you can search for at Hive Stores on Facebook or Twitter for recommendations and discounted offers and giveaways. Now, Fergus was diagnosed with Parkinson's in the early 2000s, which does affect his speech, and this is a rare audio interview for him. But his famously mischievous humour is in plenty of evidence, and there was a bit of a party atmosphere as I asked him and business partner Trevor Gulliver how they felt as they celebrated the 25th anniversary of St John.
Who are old. The fact that 25 years we've been coming into this building, it's like watching candle burn or something. It's something that reminds you of passing of time every day coming here. But it's a joy. I love it. So
it's an institution here, and you write in the book that you love the fact that it's an institution. You are seen as the father of modern British food in many ways, nose to tail being the most obvious, but you've spawned a whole load of wonderful chefs in London. So, you know, you can claim that position. Do you easily claim it? How do you feel about that?
Good, really. Yes, good.
It's a nice position to have.
Yes. And the fact that, yes, you've got little chicks that have gone off and over their own places.
It's a wonderful
feeling in the belly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's been going on for a long time, obviously. I mean, you know, we're just thinking of Hereford Road and Lyle's as a couple of restaurants that are very, very well received in London. But there are lots and lots of people and influences that have come out of this place. I'm just going to turn quickly to Trevor, because what you brought to the whole idea of St John was the theatre of... You're looking a little quizzical at that, but...
Yeah, well, both this sort of, it was this, if you look at this space, which to other people would be, that's just difficult. And in those days when we came here, it was a different place.
Can you just describe that? Because it was a shabby old warehouse, as you describe in the book.
Yeah, it was squatted. At some point, a Chinese company had been growing bean shoots in the basement. They wonder where the flooding was coming from. And, yeah, it was all kinds of stuff, and it was basically derelict. And Smithfield now was, the meat market was on its uppers. I mean, it's one way or another in different guises have survived to this day, but not what it was. From Fergus's happiness above the French in Soho and me, the fire station at Waterloo, to come here was kind of, not that Waterloo was particularly good in those days or whatever. It was a bit, we weren't daunted. We were, well, you know, but the building. So the building was the theatre. You could see it, you could sense it.
Yeah. And of course, Fergus, you trained to be an architect. Presumably when you saw this shabby old warehouse, you were visioning it as an architect as well as a chef.
Well, treating the joy. It had been used, rave paintings, rubble, pork fat, smoke, all delicious things. It was irresistible.
Yeah.
So it was one, shall we one once, and I was smitten.
Talking of legacy, Nose to Tail was obviously it's been in culinary tradition since time began, but you brought it to British cuisine very specifically. It's now known as Zero Waste, as we link culinary traditions with climate change and saving the planet. How does that feel? And I know you do actually use the term zero waste in the book. Does that feel like it's moved on, or is it essentially the same sort of thing as Nose to Tail?
Yes, I think sitting down to lunch for zero waste, so I was tempting as Nose to Tail lunch.
It's not quite as mouth-watering, is it?
No. But it's interesting how, yes, things have sort of catchphrase or whatever have come out of Nose to Tail, but sort of, yes, people have...
Well, yes, but it's more than a catchphrase, isn't it? It's very important, actually. You know, the amount of waste that comes out of kitchens, we now understand, is a huge contributor to greenhouse gases, for example. The way that we farm, you've always found produce to be the most important thing in the kitchen. We now understand how important the provenance of that is in terms of environment. Does that feel pioneering, or do you just feel that kind of came out by chance?
It seems very odd that when you see some chef on television doing something and they say it's going to be seasonal, local, what was it going to be otherwise? Far away as possible. And
well, lots of people do, and did.
Yes. It's enjoying limitations of seasons and things like that. It's all quite straightforward, really.
Let's talk a little bit about how the book is divided up. It goes right back to the roots of your food. So we look at butchery. We look, first of all, at the pig. And you say that if you understand how to break down a pig and cook it, you know everything about food.
Well, you say no more about pig. It's having a whole pot full of bits and a sort of jigsaw puzzle but of our own doing, and then sort of take it all apart, and then you have a chat with it and feel it and it'll speak to you, you speak back to it, and then you cook with it. It sounds a bit so hippy-dippy, but it works that way.
Yeah, and in fact there's a whole chapter on the trotter. How the trotter just keeps coming back in your dishes. Why the trotter?
Well, it's a wonderful thing. It brings unctuous stickiness to any dish. The story of my honeymoon. And there was a Brasserie Bazaar in Paris on the night. So my first sleeping into a steak tartare. And I was left my Pied de Port Gris, bonded with the trotter forever, really, then. As well as it was a bonding day for me and the trotter.
Margot, the trotter, and you've had a very happy marriage ever since.
Yes. Yes.
Trevor, let's talk
yes,
to you.
Yes, you asked that question, yes.
Let's talk about
some of the response. A.A. Gill said he was moved to tears by the food here. I mean, how does that feel when people still, 25 years on, are still so astonishingly impressed by this food and this place?
Food and trends and fads don't go together. The future element comes and works in the company. Your relationship with farmers, your relationship with vineyards, is not something that's overnight. I say a regular with somebody, a restaurant would take 5 years, because a regular might be somebody who comes once a year because he goes to the dentist or that's where they first met, and maybe comes 2 or 3 times a week. So to create a restaurant, what a restaurant is, and don't be confused with other things that are food retail, I guess, takes time. So, and you do it with your own, hopefully with your own voice. We were quite not, as Fergus said once, we were asked if we were Luddites, and Fergus said, no, well, you might be a bit Luddish. but the point is that a restaurant is an old friend, and it's a place of comfort. You know, it helps if you can cook a bit. And it's a place of relationships, a place of happiness, a place of sometimes I'm just going to go, I've had enough. And that's maybe the sum of its parts of why we've lasted in that sense. And whether it's become fashionable to that zero waste, I mean, like, what does that mean? It sounds like a old sci-fi music thing. We cook with common sense, we cook with respect. We don't waste anything, but that's actually learning skills. So we like to think that anyone that comes here always, even they like it or not, will learn something, and we give it with good grace. Yeah. If chefs come and do a style show, some chefs you will know, and we're delighted. We always tell people what we do and how we do it and why we do it, because when our boys and girls fly the nest either here or abroad, we're always delighted.
Yeah.
Because there's somewhere else for us to go.
Yeah. Let me ask you that same question then, Fergus. Why was A.A. Gill? Because Trevor's given a very good answer, but actually, Trevor...
We don't do names.
But a lot of people would say that about their favourite restaurant. You're absolutely right about people coming for once a year and all that sort of stuff. People are very bonded to their restaurants. But why was A.A. Gill, you know, or a prominent restaurant reviewer, why would he have been moved to tears by your food?
Let's have a more romantic answer from Fergus.
Romantic. Well, he did give us a review, which was a bit...
sharp.
It was, yes, you can eat tripe and hear it. Mm. One of those things.
Yeah.
Which then we met at some magazine launch or something. And Margot homed in on... the reviewer said, you can talk about us, but leave our customers alone. And he said, well, can I have a word in there? No, you can't. She said, you've said enough. And but after some promising, we became great friends.
Yes.
It was yeah.
Do you remember what he ate? Do either of you?
Effectively, the famous story is that's the nearest you'd ever see to dear old A.A. making an apology. In another, as usual, but some other restaurant. But in that, the narrative at the start was his apology to us. and melted and meant the nicest way.
Fergus, you describe how you really got into food. Your family were very into food, which is very unusual in those days, actually. My family were unusually into food as well, so I know how alone I was. And your parents cooked in pretty much the same way as you did until your mother found Marcella Hazan in her classic Italian cookbook.
Yes, yes.
In particular. And you say in the book that changed everything at home.
It did. As cookbooks go, it works. Everything works in it. Which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because I know when you write a cookbook, something sometimes maybe don't work.
Yeah.
But Michelle's Anne is well.
It worked.
It worked.
Would you have a similar cookbook now? That would describe the way that you might cook at home, perhaps? Not necessarily here.
Well, emerges cooking at home or cooking here.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of meld somewhere in the middle. Because, cooking we do here is what I've always done. And always thought that trotters a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And it's,
but the trotters came from you. If there is an equivalent of the Marcello Hazan, if you had a food writer who's a food hero, who would that be?
Anthony Bourdain.
Mm. Why?
He's a one-man PR machine. The number of people who come in and say, "I saw you on Anthony Bourdain," it's been.
Yeah.
He was in support of the cause.
Yeah.
To an extreme case.
Well, yeah.
He was surprisingly sort of gentle soul. When we were giving a lecture together outside New York at some kind of institute and having gentle chats back over the car, and then we get to arrive there, this huge auditorium full of kids with bandanas and tattoos, and he said, "What's the worst badass thing you've done in the kitchen, Tony, tell us?" And then he said, "Well, I'm here to introduce Sir Sanderson," which I thought they would lynch me now. But they didn't lynch me.
Can I ask you, Trevor, in terms of, you know, you've been around a long time, that same which we are here to celebrate your 25th anniversary. Let's ask that same question to you, but about a kitchen that you've been to recently that maybe would inspire you, not necessarily that you've inspired, but perhaps would inspire you.
Well, I was in Toulouse the other week and went into the Prénier and had a jolly lunch, Fergus, proper brasserie, no reservations, 7 days a week, reliable, good service. Obviously, they're French and they do it their way, and that's that. So know not to ask the wrong questions. Those sort of things are good places. But in London, before even the old Terence had started doing the big things or things had changed, you literally had
Terence Conran.
Yeah, Terence Conran. And you had Michael Caine. And Langens, which I seem to go to quite a lot when I live around the corner, a long time ago in a different world. Mm. But anything that was there was kind of lost in a different way. It's just changed so radically. And to ask where questions are now, Sweeting's obviously, because that needs to be treasured and kept in the city. But the change and the dominance of hotel chefs and everything else, London's so alive and changing, it's really hard to even stay. And you've got chums that seem to be opening another one and another one, and then doing that one, then they've got rid of that one, then they're doing this, and then young chefs. It's either very vibrant, but in the old way of going to, careful what I say, some places you shouldn't go to. But
do you eat out a lot?
Yeah, not as much as we used to, but because we didn't always have lunch here.
Yeah.
Yeah. most days.
After the short break, I ask Fergus about the mystical and rather poetic use of language and.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Look.
Fergus, I don't know, but it feels to me that this is you. My understanding of restaurants is increasingly cosmic, you say. You talk about the vibrations in the room and the great chef in the sky. And you talk about the mystical transformation that happens between ingredients and chefs.
Well,
is that you being romantic, or is that...
Well, it's part of the magic of a restaurant. Something happens in a restaurant that happens nowhere else. It's it is sort of cosmic. It builds up, and then you need to have shuts that happen, and the chairs and the tables need resting.
It's like an alchemy, isn't it?
Yes, there's a sort of alchemic quality.
A hotel is not a home from home. A hotel, go to hotel, that's much better than being at home in a way. And a restaurant is equally not eating at home. And there is a magic. When you walk into a place, you just feel the confidence of these folk, or smell the smells, or see. And they have in that space, and all the people that are there and what they're doing. This is more than, again, the sum of the parts. And there is. And nothing makes us smile more. We actually are still terrible if we... lunches, we will start walking more quickly, and we don't walk the best these days. it builds up, and it's not disappointing, and when you walk in, it's just, yeah, you've stepped through the doors, and that's what a restaurant is.
It's a wonderful thing to do.
It's the sound that when you've got a whole dining room full of people eating happily, and the sound is music to one's,
how wonderful. Can I ask you about the Parkinson's? Are you happy to talk about it? Now, you've had Parkinson's for a very, very long time. You were diagnosed 5 years after opening the restaurant, is that right?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah. But you had absolutely pioneering surgery.
2 wires put into my brain and moved around a bit to find my place and the battery here. It's sorted me out perfectly.
And that allows you to be mobile?
It does. It's, I'm not so much in the kitchen anymore because it's a vanity. I move much slower. It's really... I mean, I was afraid all the chairs would wobble because they would loosen all the joints of them. Was just sitting in the day.
And you do write rather... wittily about how terrified the chefs were every time you picked up a knife when you were first on.
Yes, yes. When I first had diagnosis, knives gave me quite a good berth.
Yeah, I bet. In a very small kitchen, you want to keep out of your way. Can you say how it has affected the way that you cook or the way that you see food? I mean, you actually write about the brain in quite some detail in the book. So you have a special relationship with it now.
Yes, it's sort of my turn to have something drilled into my brain. And there's all the lamb's brains and cow's brains we've dealt with. It seems only fair that...
it's your turn.
My turn to a bit of... brain work.
Does it change the way that you feel as a chef? Can you say how it's affected your cooking?
Not really, because it's still cook things that's a bit slower.
Yeah. Trevor, you both say in the book that It's about bravado, not ego. I love that quote. It's just about cooking people lunch. Now, you say it's also about drinking, and you come up with a lovely phrase, you know, what Fergus puts on the plate, you put in the glass. Tell us about how that lovely combination really works here.
Well, it's in terms of a restaurant, it's kind of half of what you do. So it's quite good if you sort of do good things both and apply the same. You know, we've been working with our folk directly for over 20 years and we know them. They're family. We buy from France because they're our neighbours. So it's as local as you can get. Let's not get into the English wine. we will defer to a good glass of Burgundy. And it was have done.
Can I just push you on that, though? Can I just push you on the English wines? Are they good enough to be served at St. John?
Some of them, certainly. It's no particular... Sometimes, in terms of our relationships or the quality or the price or the, you know... But champagne is a champagne.
But what about the other English wines that are as good
All perfectly fine.
Do you sell them here?
No.
Not for it, because we
have long-standing relationships with our folk. It is like with farmers. It's not a lot of what, well, without getting into that debate, and I'm a huge supporter of it, of course I would be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're very happy in our own.
It's about your family. Is that what you were going to say, Fergus?
Wood sport is. It does burn a hole in your tummy. If you get that sorted out, we'll be much happier to.
Trevor's just climbing under the table over there. Well, listen, good luck with the book, guys. It's a fabulous read. Beautiful photographs. It's got a wonderful sense of that family that you've created here. There's lovely pictures of your vignerons sort of feasting with you on big, long tables. And it is...
That's the only time of year I ever cook.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Delicious Podcast, sponsored by Hive.co.uk. You can listen to all the previous episodes at deliciousmagazine.co.uk/stories/podcasts. And you can buy all the books at Hive.co.uk using the discount code DELICIOUS10 to get your 10% off. Next week, I'll be back with the last of the book series with the queen of the viral recipe, Alison Roman. I'll see you then.